And now to my message entitled, What on Earth Are You Doing for Heaven's Sake? Matthew chapter 6, at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus concludes in verse 24 by saying, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Some time ago, the chief of the South American headhunters was in Dallas. And this is what he said after touring the United States. I see your wonderful country with its many resources and opportunities. And I wonder why you are not more interested in God. I want to ask you a very personal question today. Just how interested in God are you? Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 at verse 1, If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, beloved, if you are a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your primary concern, your chief interest today ought to be in things of a heavenly nature. Seek those things which are above, putting your affection, your love, your devotion on things in heaven. I want you to know that God is very interested in you. He has invested very heavily in you. He has given you an earth upon which to live. He has given you air with which to breathe, water and food to eat and to drink. God has given you a body and a brain. God has given you opportunities, privileges, and blessings beyond measure. In fact, James says, Every good and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above. My friend, everything you have today belongs to God, and God has only put you on a lend-lease basis. God has entrusted you with a gift of life. God has entrusted you with talent, with time, with money, and God has made such a wonderful investment in you that you can afford to do nothing more or nothing less than give everything that you have to Him. The greatest investment that God has made is in your soul. He has given you salvation that is full and free, salvation by His own marvelous grace. We read in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We read in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in Titus chapter 3 at verse 5, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. God has made that great investment in your soul. Have you considered lately just how much it cost God to save a soul? It cost Him the dearest one to His own heart. God gave His only begotten Son to die upon the cross that you might live, that you might have eternal life, that you might live forever in heaven. As any wise investor, God has every right to expect a return from your life in the form of dividends. I ask you again, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Is your life profitable or unprofitable to God? Are you helping or hindering the cause of Christ? Are you an asset or a liability to the church? Is God proud of you or is He ashamed of you? Is God pleased with your life or is God displeased with your life? What about it in your life today? What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Jesus tells the story about a man who went to acquire a kingdom. Before leaving, he gave to each one of his servants a pound, equal to about $15 in our currency. He told these men, these servants, to take care of his business and to occupy or keep busy until he returned. Upon his return, he called all the servants to give an account of themselves. One said, "I have made 10 more pounds. The other said, "I've made 5 more pounds. And finally, the last servant said, "Why, I knew that you were a hard driver, and I knew that you would demand an account, so I just wrapped up my pound in a napkin, and here it is, just like you gave it to me." And the man said, "You are an unprofitable servant. The least thing you could have done was put the pound in the bank to draw interest, to invest in my business." What a beautiful picture that is of Christ going away. One day Jesus stepped on a cloud and went to heaven to prepare a place for you and me. One day He's coming back again, and we're going to have to give an account of what we've done with our time, with our money, with our strength, with our energy. When Jesus returns, we must give an account. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Jesus was a man of very practical means. Jesus used 3 common everyday illustrations to show us what we ought to be doing on earth for heaven's sake. First of all, Jesus spoke of salt. Jesus said to His followers, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men." Here's what Jesus was saying in reality. You Christians, you are the world's seasoning. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? There are 14,000 uses of salt, the most common being on the table. I understand that there's 1/4 of a pound of salt in every gallon of seawater. Among the Jews, there was a custom of washing all newborn babies in salt water. The Arabs have a saying, "There is salt between us," which simply means we have eaten together and we are friends. More than 30 times salt is mentioned in the Bible, but none more important than the words of Jesus, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Salt does 4 things, basically. It heals, it preserves, it purifies, and it adds flavor. Now, as a Christian, you are a healing agent in a sick world. You are a preserving agent in a world that's decaying. You are a purifying agent in an impure world. You are here to add flavor to a world that is very distasteful through sin and sorrow and shame. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Where does the salt do its most effective work? In the shaker? No. Salt must become involved. Salt must lose itself. Salt must give up its identity. Salt must be totally committed. Not only does salt do its best work by becoming involved and becoming in contact with that which it's to help, it does its best work by simply being what it is, just being salt. The Morton folks have a good motto, "When it rains, it pours." And beloved, that's what Christians ought to do. I read the story about a young man who wrote a letter to his girlfriend expressing to her just how much he loved her. And he said, "I would cross every desert, climb every mountain, wade across the ocean, do anything that was necessary just to get to you because that's how much I love you." Then he added a postscript, "If it doesn't rain, I'll see you Saturday night." And you know many Christians are doing that today. We tell God how much we love Him, but we use all kinds of excuses for not getting to church. My friend, today, your great opportunity is to be in the house of the Lord on His day. I said a while ago that salt has four main uses. Let's add one more. Salt makes people thirsty. How salty are you? Have you made anyone thirsty for Christ lately? Have you caused anyone to thirst after the eternal springs of everlasting life? What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Jesus uses a second illustration, light. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Light does three things, basically. Light illuminates the dark. Light provides warmth. And light kills germs. Beloved, you in the world as a Christian should be letting your light so shine that you would illuminate the dark world about you. It's a cold world, and you as a Christian can provide warmth. It is a sick world, and you as a light can kill the germs of sin by letting your light shine in this sinful and sick and mad and mixed up world. You know, there's one thing about light that we all appreciate. Light makes no fuss about what it does. It rings no bells, blows no horns, fires no cannons. Light simply shines. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Whether or not you are a bright light, a 1,000-watt light, or a 25-watt light, your light is important. Your light is shining today to help someone find the way to Christ. And if your light does not shine, someone will be lost and go into a devil's hell without hope. Let your light so shine. You know, occasionally, we have what the astronomers call an eclipse of the moon. That is when the sun, the earth, gets between the sun and the moon. You see, the moon is a dead planet. It's a dead body. It has no light and no life. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. Now, in like manner, you and I, without the light of Christ, are dead and dark. We are reflectors. We are moons reflecting the light of Christ. But the trouble with many Christians today is this. Their lives are in a spiritual eclipse. I'm speaking to someone right now whose life is in a total spiritual eclipse. The world system, the pleasures of the world have come between you and Jesus Christ, and your life is in a spiritual eclipse. And the only way to get the light back is to get the world out of your life and let the light of Christ shine in your heart. In the third place, our Lord Jesus spoke of branches. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." The purpose of the branch is to bring forth fruit. And Jesus speaks of three measures of fruit: little fruit, much fruit, and no fruit. I ask you today, what is the measure of fruit in your Christian experience? Are you bringing forth any fruit at all? You can bring forth much fruit. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall bring forth much fruit." One day Jesus was walking to the city of Jerusalem. He came upon a fig tree. He observed immediately that there was no fruit, no figs on the tree, nothing but leaves. And you know, my friend, when Jesus looks at your life, he either sees fruit or just leaves. Do you have any fruit in your life for Christ, or are you just offering him leaves? An empty life, unproductive, unfruitful, unprofitable to Him. You are a branch as a Christian, and a branch is to bring forth fruit for the Master. Salt, light, and branches. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a branch to bring forth much fruit for Christ. I ask you again, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? You see, my friend, it's not what you're going to accumulate in this life, the riches, the gold, the silver, the fame, the popularity. The thing that really matters is what you're doing for heaven's sake. I have this footnote and I shall be through. If you are not doing anything on earth for heaven's sake, chances are you have left Christ to go your own way and do your own thing. Turn back to where you left him, and you will find him there. He is waiting by the bedside where you used to kneel in prayer. He is standing in the chapel by that long abandoned pew. He stands by your forsaken place where the laborers are so few. You are older, wiser, broken. You are tired of self, 'tis true. So return to where you left him. He is waiting there for you. My friend, Jesus Christ is waiting for you now. This moment, right by your radio, return to him. Let him be your guide. Let him be the Lord and Master of your life. Turn the reins of your life over to Christ and let him have his way in your life now. May I say again that it would be our joy to have you and your family come and worship the Lord, honor Christ, and honor Mother on Mother's Day with us at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.